Today is Tuesday, August 1st, 1995. I am Ward Russell, a member of the Outrigger Canoe Club's Historical Committee. Our committee for some time has had an ongoing project of conducting all interviews of some of the club's very prominent and longtime members. Today it is my pleasure to interview Nip Tong Okona, who's been a member for over 40 years. We'll find out exactly how many in a few minutes. We are in the manager's office at the Outrigger Canoe Club. And unfortunately, I think the air conditioning hum is in the background. But Marjorie, I hope you can transcribe what's going on. Nip, good morning.
Morning.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
You're a Big Island boy, aren't you?
Yes.
Where were you born?
I was born in Kauai, Hawaii.
Kauai? My goodness. Where did you go to school?
I went to the public school in Kauai and Waimea. Uh-huh. And then I ended up at Kamehameha.
At Kamehameha. Well, before we get out, I want to talk about Kamehameha, but what did your parents do?
My father worked for the Parker Ranch in Waimea. So because it was too cold up there, so my mother went down to Kauai High, and I was born down there. Kauai High. Because my grandparents lived in Kauai High and Puako. Puako is about 5 miles away from Kauai High. And because it was cold, I was born in April. Cold in Waimea, my mother went down to Kauai High.
Where did your parents, where did they come from?
My father came from China.
China?
Yeah. And my mother was born here.
She's part Hawaiian?
No, she's full Hawaiian.
Oh, your mother was full Hawaiian. So you're half Chinese, half Hawaiian?
Chinese, half Hawaiian.
And so you went to schools in Kauai High and Kamuela. And then what did you do? How long were you on Hawaii?
Oh, until 1933, when I finished Waimea, I stayed down here to work because there's no job up in Waimea.
I missed something there. I skipped something. From Kamuela, you went to Kamehameha.
Yeah.
How many years were you at Kamehameha?
6 years.
6 years? Were you in athletics at the Kamehameha?
I played baseball and stuff.
Baseball. So then you graduated from Kamehameha in 33?
1933.
The same year I graduated from high school. I was 33. We probably knew each other then. Then what did you do?
Then I worked for Lewis and Cook for about 3 weeks, and they let us all out because it was the Depression. Just about that time, the Depression hit Hawaii badly. And we were all released. Anthony Paul, I remember Anthony Paul, he was one of them. And a lot of those guys joined the police department. And I didn't. I came to the beach.
You came to?
I came down to the beach and joined the Huinalo.
You joined the Huinalo, what year was that?
That was 1933.
33.
And in August of 1933, I saw an ad in the paper that E.P. Murray was the sitting county auditor. And I knew him from Kamehameha School because he was up there as a purchasing agent. And I went to see him. He said, "When do you want to start? Right now?" I said, "Yeah, I can start right now." So she said, "Well, the only job I have is the office boy's job. All the Democrats want all the big jobs, and so that's the only job left." I said, "Okay, I'll take it." And I got in, and I worked my way up from there.
So this is at, where was this at?
At City Hall.
City Hall?
Yeah.
And how many years were you with the City and County?
I worked for the City and County until 1971. I retired in August.
71?
71.
And what was your position when you retired?
I was a field auditor.
Field auditor. Do you have any family?
Yeah, I have three sisters.
Three sisters. Yeah. And no brothers?
No brothers.
Have you any children?
No.
No children. You have a lovely wife. See you down the two of you down the club for so many years. Great couple. You get back, you joined the Huinello in 33. Did you start paddling or
yes,
surfing?
Yes, I paddled.
You paddled Huinello?
Yeah.
The reason I asked you that, did you go to Kona by any chance in the first races at Huinello when they started up the...
No. I didn't go to Kona.
The reason I asked you that...
Most of the guys went. Uh-huh. And they went on the Itasca, I think, the Coast Guard cutter. And I think halfway, the cutter got called to go somewhere. Ship was needed help or something. Somebody needed help anyway. They had to divert the ship back to this other.
You didn't get that, though. Well, you didn't go, but you paddled for Huinello.
Yeah.
Surf?
Did a lot of surfing.
Were you ever a beach boy per se?
No, not exactly. I whenever they needed help, you know, I might jump in a canoe and paddle help.
I remember the years when you and I paddled together in the two-man canoe.
Two-man canoe. Oh, in the Steiner, I just wait for me. After I get through work, I come down, then he waits for me, and then he and I go out on a little canoe.
Who is this?
Ernest Steiner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And nobody wanted to go out with him. And he was learning to steer. So he and I went out, used to go out on a little canoe. And everybody burned up with us.
He was steering?
He was steering. He was learning to steer.
Knock everybody off the wave?
Chase everybody off the wave.
Oh, God. Well, when did you join the Advocate Canoe Club?
In 1952. John D. Capico and Dad Sender told me to join, because I think the initiation fee was $300, but for that year, they lowered it to $100, I think. And then I got in on the $100 deal. And the dues, I think, was $2 a month, I think.
That was after, well, what was your impression of the club at that time? Of course, you'd been close by.
Yeah, I was close by because I had a friend who had joined, my classmate had joined a rigger. I think he joined in 33 or 34, I forgot which. Anyway, and he had a locker at the surfboard locker, so I kept my surfboard in his locker at the outrigger. Because Madsen provided a room for the Huinello. It was for the beach boys to keep the equipment. And they were allowed to use the bathhouse to change and all that.
This is for the Huinello?
Yeah, Huinello. And in 1949, when they tore down the bathhouse, that was...
I don't know, really. What were those bathhouses?
Right on the side.
By the Arrigo, by the Moana.
But Moana, you know, on the upper side of Moana Hotel, the bathhouse was there.
Yeah.
Right up to the beach. And in front, they had some office rooms, offices, you know. And Dr. Somebody had a space there. And one big room for the Huinello. And Joe Fat had a little eating stand right in the corner there.
Tell me a little about Huinello, your time with Huinello, because you would be with Huinello for about 30, retreat.
The retreat of.
How many years were you with Huinalo?
Well, the last time I paddled for Huinalo was in 1948.
You paddled? Oh, you paddled until 48.
Yeah.
And where did you paddle? What?
Junior crew.
Junior crew.
And then in 48 we had I was in the senior crew, and the McFarland race that year, 48, we had a canoe, I don't know, John D. got a canoe from Kona, and we were leading our Riga senior crew. When we came in, Rabbit was steering.
Rabbit?
Yeah, Rabbit Kikai was steering, and we swam. So we bailed the boat out, and Waikiki Surf Club had just started two at a time. They had a crew in there. And
Surf Club?
Yeah. And Outrigger, and the three crews only, senior race. And we bailed our canoe, went around, and by the time Outrigger was gone, way ahead. But we beat the surf club because...
You beat it?
Yeah. After we bailed a boat, we
got back in the race. You beat the surf club?
Yeah.
Tell me, who were the principal paddlers of Huinalo in those days?
Well, in the... from 36 on, I think senior crew, they had good senior crew. 36 on, they had Johnny Ensberg, the steersman. This is a senior crew now. Fred Steer was stroke.
Fred of course.
Fred Steer was stroke.
For Huinalo.
And Akong Pang was number two. Wilfred Paul was, I think it was number three. And Waldorf Wilson, number four. And the fifth guy was Johnny Dixon.
Who?
Johnny Dixon.
Yeah.
He was my classmate at Kamehameha.
Dixon. That's interesting, I think. Of that,
and
of
that Johnny Ensberg was the steersman.
Of that big, three of them were Rodrigo Canucla.
Yeah.
Our new club members, Prince T became president. I just remember when I went over to EC, I went over with the Huinalo gang.
Yeah.
I hadn't joined the club then. I would have been over the corner. And Squeeze Kumanao was paddling too at that time.
Squeeze Kumanao.
Yeah, and Wilford. That was a wonderful trip. Then what did you do? You paddled forward, Peter.
No, I didn't paddle for Outrigger.
You never paddled for Outrigger. You just joined and became
a surfing bum. Yeah. And I used the canoe to go fishing and...
Yeah, I know, I was
the little canoe, we used to surf on the little canoe.
You know, in all of these interviews, I've never really talked to anyone about fishing from the canoe, except Dad Santa used to go out a lot. We had a lot of motor on it.
Yeah, they used to go all the way down to... off Sand Island and fish for Cavaliers. That's the fish they caught.
What did you use
brothers, the Cook brothers.
The Cook brothers?
Yeah. Eric and the other.
Where did you usually fish?
Oh, I just fish along the edge of the reef.
Uh-huh.
I have to wait until a calm day, the waves aren't breaking. Then I go along the reef. Well, first I would look for squid, catch a little squid, and I use that for bait. And then I have a line, I troll, drop the line about 30 feet from the canoe, and I paddle around the edge of the reef, and I catch papillas about a pound and a half or
really?
2 pounds, all along here.
This is by yourself?
Yeah.
Just the one man.
One man canoe, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I used to see you out there all the time, yeah, coming to fish.
And sometimes I take my spear out, right, catching an octopus. maybe Kitchen Ooh.
So you're outside of the Outrigger Canoe Club, did you have any other outdoor activity? I mean, fishing, did you do any deep sea fishing or anything like that?
No, I didn't.
Just most of the time with the Outrigger. Yeah. Do you remember any of the Beach Boys at that particular time?
Well, at that time, I remember Poke Aloha. He brought Harry Robillo down to the beach.
He what?
He brought Harry Robillo.
Oh, was he responsible for bringing Harry Robillo?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah,
yeah, because Poke Aloha used to play golf at Alawai, and Harry used to caddy up there. And he knew the different holes, and he would advise poor where to hit and all that. And poor took a liking to him, so he brought him down to the beach.
Harry is a good golfer.
Yeah.
Did you ever play golf?
I tried. I had Joe Guerrero giving me instruction. But every time I go out with him, you know, he plays with Arthur Armstrong and all the other champions. When we go down the fairway, three guys going one way and one guy going off right or to the left the next time. That would be me. And I got disgusted, you know.
Tell me a little bit about your wife. Is she in fact tired? She's not working now, is she?
No.
What did she do?
Well, she's from Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
And she skis. She worked in Sun Valley 2 winters, 50 and 51. And 52, she came out here with a bunch of girls. And she was the only one that knew, had some kind of occupational.
What was she?
Well, she was a secretary.
Secretary.
So when she came out here, she found a job easily with some attorneys.
Where?
Some attorneys.
Huh.
Landau and
Landau.
Fairbanks. She worked for them. And then after that, she worked for Harold Kay.
For who?
Harold Kay, you know.
Harold Kay?
Yeah.
Oh, very well, yeah. I knew Harold very well. Strong Republican.
He was supposed to have been the governor.
Yeah, that's right.
Instead of King.
Yeah. Oh, well, I remember that, yeah. He did the Pevites. Alibites, Alibites.
Yeah. And he married a cook girl, too.
Did you ever get involved in politics?
No.
You never worked for any candidate? Except me, of course. Well, you were down at the old club. What did you think about the situation when we were faced with the need to move down here to the new location?
At that time, way before we moved out here, I think, I don't know if you remember Sam Fuller. Remember Sam Fuller? He worked for the tax office. And he wanted the club to buy the Chris Holmes.
Chris Holmes?
Chris Holmes' property out here.
Where was that?
You know the Bayfoot Bar?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was Chris Holmes' property.
Oh, yeah.
See, he wanted a club to buy it. I think it was $350,000 at that time. And of course, I don't know whether the club had money to buy it, but there were a lot of members in the club who could have underwritten that $350,000. But what happened was Hiram Fong formed a Chinese group, and they bought the property. And then they leased it to Spencer Weaver. And Spencer Weaver had to play football with Sterling Mossman as the chief entertainer there.
How well I remember, yeah.
Play football. And then when...
I didn't realize Aaron Fong was in on that.
Yeah, I think so. Aaron Fong, Thelma Connor was in it too. She was a member of the club.
She had a son, Reno.
Reno, yeah.
Do you know what's happened to him?
He passed away, I think,
several
years ago.
Oh, he was a terrific athlete.
Oh.
I think he still holds a record for the 100-yard dash. Yeah, because he broke Jimmy Newell's record. I remember when he used to run. She was quite a campaigner. Do you have any other vivid memories of some of our colorful characters at the club? How about Charlie Amalo?
Charlie Amalo? Well, I used to go out with him on a canoe, you know, and help paddle when he had friends. And Duke, I used to go out with him.
David?
When we moved up here, one day, David and I had a group of people, and we caught a wave out here. And everybody on the beach would squeeze. They thought we were going down. And we came in all the way.
Would you catch it back? Castles?
No.
Bullmans?
Bullmans, but further out.
And you came in here? I like David. He's a real gentleman. Well, you knew all the kind of mokers.
Yeah.
I guess only Louis passed away.
Louis, yeah.
I guess Bill is the only one left, huh? Did Bill die?
I think so.
He's still alive?
No.
Bill died?
I think he died.
I guess my... Oh, then, what's her name? Bernice Lee.
Yeah.
Sure, I think she's still alive.
Maybe she's still alive.
Yeah. Lee's Corner.
And Willie Whittle. I was friendly with Willie Whittle. And he let me use his canoe.
I remember Willie, but I was first learning to surf. He wouldn't let us go out, you know, because I was going to... I'm going to hold there now before I join the club. I'd come down with some of my friends, and if you didn't behave yourself, you'd just get out of here. He's a real colorful guy. About Panama?
Oh, Panama, yeah. Panama used to, I remember tax time, he used to come see me to fix his tax. So I prepare his tax. It was easy thing to do, and I asked him, have you got money to pay? He said, no. I said, well, you go file this anyway, because if, as long as you file it, you'll be safe. If you don't file, that's bad. Failure to file returns. As long as you file it, whether you can pay it or not, let them chase you for the money.
Chick Daniels,
yeah.
It's a real tremendous group of people. What do you think about the club in this new location?
This location?
Compare the club as it was when we were down at the old location and as it is today. Do you think this is a good move to come down here?
Yeah.
I think it's developed into a real family club. More so than there was too many outside influences at the whole location.
Well, down there now it's out of question because there's too many.
Well, we'd have been just swamped if we had stayed down.
Yeah. And with all those hotels coming up.
Yeah.
Because that empty lot between the club and the one hotel, that was up for sale at one time. And I think the Swansea estate owned the property. Swansea, the judge or whatever. Swansea. I think they owned the property. And at that time.
Swansea.
Swansea.
Yeah.
So I think they wanted $1 million for that piece of property. So I told Hal Whitaker, you will find 1,000 guys, we put out for $1,000 a piece, we buy that property. Buy it for the club. 1,000 members with $1,000 a piece, we can buy the property. He said, hey, that's a good idea. So I went to see George Barnier. And he said, oh, you can get $1,000 of many members. Then he was the one that told me about the buying the prison.
Chris Holmes.
Yeah.
That's where the
Barefoot Bar was.
That was the old. Wasn't that the Deer Estate many, many years ago? I think so.
Yeah.
Chris Holmes had it.
And Sonny Kuna had the property, those two pieces, parcels. Sonny Kuna.
Now, where was the Kuna property?
Right at the entrance of the beach there.
Oh, then it would be on the town side of the Natatorium.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the first piece of property. I think it came out of
As you turned up to Montserrat.
Yeah.
The first piece of property.
Well, that's Kuna Surf.
Yeah, and he owned a property on the other side too.
Whose property?
He owned that up Kapahulu Avenue now.
Yeah.
That used to be Makee Road, I think.
Yeah.
But he owned that whole area there. Where those hotels are, I don't know where they sold. They stayed still on.
What were your favorite surfing places when you were surfing?
I used to surf with Queen Surf a lot. Queen Surf and first break when it's up.
Poplar,
yeah. You went out of Poplar one time and you came back with all the oil on your head, you remember?
Yeah.
And I told you to go behind in the shower room and use the Vitalis to get all that oil off because the alcohol in the Vitalis.
I forgot all about that,
Yeah, your chest and your head were all full of oil. You know, the ships used to just dump the oil off. Sure, and
I got none of that. Do you have any frightening experiences surfing? Any close calls or anything like that?
No.
I always remember a Papa one day. I think I was sliding right on top of us, Manta.
Scared me. There's a big one down there, you know. Because when I go trolling, I used to see him one day.
When you trolled in the canoe, did you get up in a just by paddling?
Yeah, just paddling.
And they would bite?
Oh, yeah. But people would chase anything that moves, you know. And barracudas, I used to catch barracudas about this size.
What would be the biggest fish you ever caught?
Well, biggest papio I caught is about 2 pounds, I think.
Good size. What do you do now for relaxation? I know you've had some health problems.
I can't. I'm not doing anything now. I can't take the boat out.
Hey, just talk about your health problem. You had, what did you do? Did you have a heart attack?
No, I was out squidding. Then I felt tired. I came back to the beach and...
You had pre-surf, was it?
In front of the Sheraton Waikiki.
Oh, yeah.
In front there, I was diving for...
You were surfing?
No. Diving for squid.
Oh, scouts.
And I felt tired. I swam back to shore, and then I sat by the swimming pool of the Sheraton Waikiki. And I passed out there, I think.
Well, you did at Sheraton?
Yeah. Because when I came to, three big Samoan guys are holding me down. They said, don't move. The doctor had called a doctor. And they called the ambulance and everything. But I came to it and I was fine. I said, no, you don't have to. I just called my wife, come pick me up.